morning, everybody. Thank you so much for coming out to hear God's word this morning. I'm going to invite you, if you haven't already, to turn Colossians chapter 1. We are engaged in a study of that particular New Testament book. We're calling it, as you can see, More Than Enough. We've been looking at each week at different ways that Christ is more than enough for us. This morning we're gonna tackle another section there in chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2. But I wanted to begin by talking about something that I think we can all identify with. There seems to be this thing within us as humans that loves more. Yes, we love more. But there's this thing within us that is attracted to mystery. Yes? No? Yeah. Okay, got the right audience. And I want to talk to you for a moment about some of the unexplained mysteries of life. Now, these are some humorous ones, right? And I'm sure you could think of some others, but these are ones that I either read or came up with myself. For example, here's a mystery. Why is it that the dentist asks you questions while he has his fingers in your mouth? Or how about this one? Why is it that when the little sign says your remote batteries are low or dead, we just simply press harder on the button to try to get it to work, right? Why is that? It's a mystery of life. Why do they call the smaller candy bars fun size? Like, it's less fun, right? Like, the bigger ones should be called the fun size, right? Why is it that when something is about to happen, people say heads up rather than duck? I mean, really, you should duck, right? Not stick your head up. How about our grading system? How is it that it goes from A, B, C, D, and then what happened to E? It's one of the great mysteries of life. Poor E got left out. How come we put our suits in garment bags and our garments in suitcases? I mean, I sit around and think about these things. Somebody says you need to get a life. Did you ever think about this one? You know, when I was a kid, one of the shows that I watched frequently was Superman. There's some of you in here old enough to remember the old Superman shows, right? I'm not talking the cartoon version. I'm talking about a real live person, a real live Superman. But if you ever watch those shows, you know that he could stop speeding bullets with his chest. But if you ever watched the show, when something was thrown at him, he ducked. Well, why is that? The mysteries of life. Have you ever asked yourself, what do birds do when they get a bump on the head? What do they see? Boy, apparently I'm the only one who thinks about such things. And lastly, why don't they make cat food in mouse flavor? I mean, come on, that would make sense, right? One of the great mysteries of life. This morning, I want to begin by telling you that in this chest behind me is the answer to every mystery in life. In that chest behind me this morning is the meaning to everything in life. There are countless books and TV shows that are dedicated to this need we have to know mystery. And there was a book written a number of years ago called The Da Vinci Code. Maybe you've heard of it. It sold over 80 million copies, one of the best sellers of all times. If you don't know what the book was about, it was discussing, it's a novel, but it was discussing what they believed to be the secret relationship between Jesus and Mary Magdalene in the Bible. People obsessed over what could be going on behind the curtain. Another book written by Rhonda Byrne, it's called The Secret. It happened to sell over 30 million copies and was translated into 50 different languages. I want you to listen. I'm going to read to you how the book got marketed. Listen. Then again, the name of the book is The Secret. The Secret reveals the most powerful law in the universe. The knowledge of this law has run like a golden thread through the lives and teachings of all prophets, seers, sages, and saviors in world's history, and through the lives of all truly great men and women. All that they have ever accomplished or attained have ever done in full accordance, has been done in full accordance with this powerful law. Without exception, every human being has the ability to transform any weakness or suffering into strength, power, perfect peace, health, and abundance. Rhonda Byrne's discovery of the secret began with a glimpse of the truth through a 100-year-old book. She went back through the centuries, tracing and uncovering a common truth that lay at the core of the most powerful philosophies, teachings, and religions of the world. What Rhonda discovered is now captured in The Secret, and also a related film that has been viewed by millions around the world. The Secret has been released in an audiobook and printed book with more than, at the time, 6 million copies in print. The Secret explains with simplicity the law that governs all lives and offers the knowledge of how to create intentionally and effortlessly a joyful life. This is the secret to everything, the secret to unlimited happiness, love, health, and prosperity. This is the secret life. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That's how the book and the movie got marketed. Now, I just want to save you the time and the money, and I'm going to tell you what the book is about, all right? I'm just going to put it right out there. Rhonda probably wouldn't like this, but I'm just going to put it right out there for you so that you don't have to read the book or waste your money. She says she got the book from, or she got this idea or this law or this principle from a 100-year-old book. What I want to tell you this morning is over 2,000 years ago, Jesus talked about this very thing. Someone should tell her. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, this is the secret. In three words, ask, believe, and receive. There, I saved you some money. She taught the principle, the law of asking, believing, and receiving. Jesus taught that in Matthew chapter 1 as we would put our faith in him. But this just goes to show us the truth that people are searching for answers, and when it seems that someone has put forward a possible nugget of wisdom or knowledge or a secret that somehow they've come into the know about, people are quick to latch on to such ideas. This is true in our day, but it was also true during the time when Paul wrote the letter of Colossians. This morning, I want you to listen carefully as I read our passage for the day with what I just shared with you as a backdrop. Listen now as Paul writes. In verse 24 of chapter 1, he says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission of God that he gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all my energy, which is so powerful at work in me. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for those who I've not yet met personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may understand the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. For in him is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So it was then. There were those who were suggesting there was secret knowledge, the unmasking of a mystery, secret philosophies abounded in the days when Paul wrote this letter to Colossians. Paul, in verse 24, begins by stating that he considers it a bona fide privilege to suffer for the sake of the gospel and the development of the church. Remember, as he's writing this letter, he's sitting in a prison cell. We know from other things that he wrote, he said that he carried with him the cause and concern of the church. His concern was greater for that than it was his own physical well-being. This verse here also tells us that his suffering in the flesh was a way that he could vicariously or somehow experience with Christ the same sufferings that he bore. In verse 25 in this passage, it tells us that Paul saw his purpose in life. His sole purpose in life was to proclaim the fullness of God's word. Last week, if you were here, I talked about this word fullness for quite a while. Here we find the word again, pleroma. It means the sum total of all that God is. Paul saw that his calling, his responsibility, was to proclaim God in sum total of who he is. And now Paul is going to give us reasons why he proclaims this gospel in its fullness. Number one, Paul tells us he's proclaiming this full gospel so that we might know the glorious riches of the mystery. The mystery. In verse 26, he refers to this process of proclaiming the full gospel as an unveiling or a disclosing of the mystery. He says the mystery that has been kept hidden for generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. If you didn't know differently, you might think that Paul's trying to sell a book. He's not. In fact, he tells us straight up, he pulls back the curtain and emphatically states what the mystery is. He says that people may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The secret of God is no longer a secret. The mystery has been revealed. Jesus Christ is the final and ultimate meaning of all reality. Which means, that means that nothing can be fully or rightly known if it's not known in light of Jesus. Paul expands on this in verse 27 by saying, to them, meaning the saints or believers, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say that with me if you would on the count of three. One, two, three. Christ in you, the hope of glory. One more time. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen to how the Message translation renders that verse. The mystery in a nutshell is this. Christ is in you, so therefore you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. It's that simple. There are a couple of things that I want to point out about this verse. First, the amazing fact that Christ would choose to dwell in us as humans. By his Spirit, to dwell in us as human beings. This was a mind blower to both Jews and Gentiles alike. The Jews would have considered that and thought, wait a minute, in our sacred history, God for a season chose to dwell in a tabernacle and later decide to dwell in a temple. And it, from time to time, he would come upon people, settle upon people for particular task or purpose. But the notion of God dwelling or residing in an individual permanently was a mind blower. The Gentiles would have also considered it a mind blower. Why? Well, they were Gentiles. They were people outside of covenant relationship that Israel knew with God. Paul says this mystery of Christ in us is our hope, it's our strength, and even our glory. God has invaded humanity. He has put himself inside of us to reclaim that territory for himself. Which brings me to the second reason Paul is proclaiming this full gospel or mystery. In verse 28, he says, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Perfect in Christ. The word perfect here doesn't mean it like you and I usually think about it. The word perfect means complete, whole, or mature. Complete, whole, or mature. The way you and I become more complete, whole, or mature is not by understanding the Da Vinci Code. It's not, we don't become more whole, complete, or mature by reading the book called The Secret. The way that we become more whole, mature, and complete is by coming into a greater knowledge and understanding of who Christ is. It's amazing to me how much even we as Christians can get distracted by things, going down different bunny trails, thinking they will lead us to being more whole, more mature, more complete. And I just want to say to us this morning, you don't have to read the Da Vinci Code. You don't have to read the Secret. What you and I need to do is read the red letters. Do you know what I mean by red letters? In the older Bibles, the words that Christ spoke were called the red letters. You and I, if we want to be more whole, more complete, more mature, we need to read the red letters. Because it's in those red letters you are going to come to know, you are going to come to know better who Christ is. The wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding will come to us as we read the letters. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not some other theory that would promote the hope of glory. Jesus is more than enough. What else could we learn? Listen, think about this. What else could you and I learn to feel more whole or more complete? What else? A book on the stock market? A book on, how to make more money? A book on, all those books are out there and people read those books, but somehow after reading them, they're still not more whole, mature, or complete. On a personal note, Paul wrote on numerous occasions how he looked at this. He said, I've been around the block. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. He said, I've been around the block. I've learned everything there is to know about Judaism. I've studied other religions. I've become an expert at knowing how to teach the law and practice the law. He was a learned man. But when he came to discover Jesus Christ, he said about all of that other stuff, he said, I consider it all rubbish. It doesn't mean anything. It has no overarching purpose to my life. At one point in the book of Ephesians, he said, not only am I on a hot pursuit after Christ, he said, my goal is to make sure that other people through my life, through my ministry, come to know Christ better. Paul then tells us the third reason he's proclaiming this full gospel or mystery. He says, my purpose is that they might be encouraged in heart and united in love. I'm telling you about this mystery. I'm telling you about the person of Christ so that you will be encouraged and united in love. Did you know that people encourage other people because people need encouragement? You need encouragement. I need encouragement. Paul says, I'm telling you about this mystery so that your hearts will be encouraged. Paul is proclaiming, he's teaching, he's exhorting, he's admonishing about the fullness of the word, the mystery of Christ, that hope in us in an effort to strengthen and encourage us. Listen, I want to ask us this question this morning. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? Why do we come here week after week? Why do we provide opportunities for people to learn? Why do I take time to prepare a sermon and then come and share that with you? Why do we keep on keeping on? What is our primary goal in life? Tell me, what is that? It's to know Christ. It's to know Christ. There is nothing else that is worthy of our energies and our efforts as much as knowing Christ. He says, I'm telling you this so that you will be strengthened and encouraged, but I'm also telling you this so that you will be united in love. He uses a word picture here with this word united. Jody's grandmother, back in the 70s or 80s, Jody's grandmother made hook rugs, like most people make meals, right? She was always working on. Wherever we went with her, she wasn't a knitter or a crocheter. She was a hook rugger, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? It had, you can picture it in the 70s, right? And she would take these, they seemed to be like quarter inch by quarter inch square. It was a big thing, but there were little squares in it. And she would buy these kits. We probably have a half a dozen of these hook rugs at our house. They're all over the place. And she would take these things, and she had a little tool. It had a little hook on it. I guess that's why they call them hook rugs. And she would put these little pieces of yarn. They were about that long, like that. And you put them in there, and she would somehow weave them up in there and pull them like this. Now, if you were to take any one of those little pieces of yarn, you would look at it and say, there's not much there, right? What is that? But once you take all of those little pieces of yarn and you put them together according to the pattern or layout of this thing, it creates a beautiful mosaic or a beautiful tapestry of a particular picture. You know what I'm talking about, right? Paul is saying, I'm telling you about Christ, the mystery, the fullness of the word, so that you will see your life as it's hooked with other people, connecting to other people. We are building, and this is what the word united means, a tapestry of beauty dedicated to God. That's why I'm telling you about this mystery, so that you'll be encouraged and you'll be united. You'll see yourself as being united to others. The Message translation says it this way: I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. How else can you and I be knit together? What else could possibly bring us together if not Christ? We know politics doesn't, right? That doesn't bring that. That certainly is not going to bring us together. You know, in this room right now are multiple hobbies and interests and occupations and talents and vocations. It's a diversity of people in here. So we know that those things are not ultimately going to bring us together. The only thing that I know of is Christ. He alone is the one only able in love to bring us together to form a beautiful tapestry that will praise his name. The final reason that Paul gives for why he's telling us about the mystery, the full gospel, the full word. In chapter 2, verse 4, he says, I tell you this, I'm telling you about the mystery, I'm telling you about the full gospel, so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. We got a lot of fine-sounding arguments going on today. And by fine-sounding, Paul does not mean that two people are arguing and it sounds good. That's not what he means. When he says fine-sounding argument, he means that people are giving a reason or set of reasons in an effort to persuade somebody in a particular direction. That's what it means. Paul says, this reasoning, this argument may seem right, but it has a deceptive quality to it. And what makes it deceptive is that it is moving you away from Christ being the center. As I've been saying for weeks as we've been talking about Christ being more than enough, what they were saying in their day is no different than what we wrestle with in our day. In their day, they were saying, Jesus is okay, but beside Jesus, you also need this. You need to subscribe to this. And that's what they were making their argument about. Today, we have the same thing going on. People say, well, you know, Jesus is okay. Hang in there. Go ahead. You can have some belief in him. But alongside that, you also need this. And you can fill in the blank, whatever that is. They would then give reasons for why we need to be in hot pursuit of whatever this is. And the this may seem right. It may seem fine. But what Paul is saying here is that you can, anything that would move Jesus from being the utter focus and center of your life is taking you someplace you don't need to go. People do the same thing today. What Paul is saying, that if you have anything at the center besides Jesus, as fine sounding as that may seem, it's not right. Anything that's trying to move him out of the center is regardless of how right it seems to be. The Bible on the whole word, the mystery, the fullness, serves one purpose and one purpose alone. If you look at the Old Testament, the reason you have the Old Testament in the Bible is so that it points us to the New Testament. You know, you can get deep in the weeds of the Old Testament and try to figure out all the stories and try to figure out all the prophecies in there, but the whole point of the Old Testament was to point us to the New Testament. The whole point of the New Testament is to point us to Christ. The Gospels were written to give an account of his earthly life, right? It's all focused on Jesus. The epistles, the letters in the New Testament are written to further proclaim and unveil who Christ is. Even if you go to the book of Revelations, you can go to the book of Revelations and there are some fascinating things about that book. You know, you can start to look and discover who the beast might be and the 666 and what that's all about and how the world gets destroyed and redone again by God and so on. You can look at all that stuff, but I'm here to tell you the whole point of Revelations is to reveal Christ. That's the whole point. And to show us how far superior he is to everything else. Paul says, you already know what the mystery is. You already know what you need to know. You don't need Jesus plus something else. All you need is Jesus. He is the treasure of wisdom, understanding, knowledge. And if Paul would have had red letters in his day, I think he would have said, all you need to do is read the red letters. In the last part of this section, Paul closes by giving us two military terms. He says, at the end, he says, I delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. Paul borrows two terms that were used in the realm of the military to exhort them. First, the word orderly. I delight to see how orderly you are. It's a military term. It's a military term for, did you ever see the, like when people are in boot camp, and some of you have been in boot camp, and they call everybody they call everybody out. What do they call that? Muster. Thank you. You're in muster and you're in a line and everybody is, you know, however you are at that point, you got your gun, whatever, you're like this, right? And there is a sense of orderliness about that, right? The term that he's borrowing to exhort them in terms of being orderly and firm in faith. This first term is about them joining ranks like that as the assault takes place. Like they're lined up, ready to deal with what's coming at them. They're orderly in that way. When he talks about this other phrase, this firm in faith phrase, it's a military term for standing, still standing after the assault has taken place. In other words, whatever the enemy tried to do, he wasn't able to break our lines. I thought how relevant that is for the times that we find ourselves living in. The enemy's coming at us in all different ways and directions and so forth and so on. But Paul says, listen, if you get this right, just focus everything you have on Jesus Christ. And as all this other stuff comes at you, you'll still be left standing together with others, united in love. And even though the assault has taken place, it hasn't broken the ranks. We are still together. Paul tells us that this mystery of God, namely Christ, has been revealed to you and I. He said, I'm writing to help those in Laodicea. I'm writing to help you. And I'm also writing to help people I've never met before. That's us. Not unless some of you met Paul. I've never met him before. He says, I'm writing to tell you that the greatest treasure on earth that we could ever know is not some theory somebody has out there, some prediction somebody has out there. The greatest revelation of truth that you and I could ever know has been revealed. The mystery has been revealed, and his name is Jesus Christ. Paul starts by rejoicing. He finishes with rejoicing. We can rejoice because of whatever the world tries to do to convince us of what we don't have. You and I can be assured that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. We have a hope that the world does not have. We have a hope that goes beyond the last word that the world tries to tell us. We have more than enough purpose. Purpose. I looked up the definition of purpose. It has to do with why we exist. It has to do with what our goals are. I'm here to tell us this morning that Jesus is more than enough purpose. When you're feeling frustrated, confused, you're not really sure what all's going on, go back and read the red letters. Go back. Don't turn to another theory. Go back and read the red letters, because it's in those red letters that the mystery has been revealed. You will find what your heart longs for. I said to you when we started this morning, I said, I'm in this chest. In this chest right here is the meaning to everything in life. It will answer any question you will ever have. Any meaningful question you ever have. Anybody want to know what's in here? You probably weren't wondering the whole time, right? Because you're like, no, I don't like mysteries. I don't like intrigue. I don't like it at all. You're lying. You are so lying. So in the chest, it's right here. It's spelled, here's what how it's spelled. J-E, yeah, S, help me. S. Do you know why it's red?
Red letters.
The red letters. You need to read the red letters. You know, I think as Christians, sometimes we think to ourselves, well, I know Jesus. You know, he lives in my heart. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'll go to heaven when I die. That's awesome. I'm glad for you, I'm glad for me. But can I just tell you, you and I haven't scratched the surface. And our pursuit, once we've obtained the fact that he dwells in us, a hope of glory, now it's our mission in life to read the red letters and come to know him more. We know him, but we are coming to know him more. I want you to stand with me this morning. We're going to pray. I'm particularly encouraging you this morning and pointing you. I know many of you here read your Bibles. I know that. I want to, particularly in the season that we're in, I want to exhort you and encourage you to go back and read the red letters. I just feel like this is something God just put in my heart to tell you. Go back and read the red letters. When any time we're in a kind of conspiracy thing going on and all that stuff, the way to resolve those things in our soul is to go back and read the red letters. It will give you the hope. It will give you that sense of strength. It will give you that sense of understanding and knowledge that you need to navigate whatever assault the enemy is bringing our way. Read the red letters. I'm telling you that. I want to say even prophetically this morning, read the red letters. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we stand here this morning with the mystery unveiled. You have pulled back the curtain. Those that thousands of years before longed to see, you have pulled back the curtain so that we could see it. Lord, I thank you for not only unveiling it to the world, I thank you personally for unveiling it to us, giving us eyes to see, a heart to comprehend that you are the solution, you are the answer to every meaningful question in life. And God, I pray this morning that you would unveil who Christ is to all of us yet even more, that we would not be content to just say, I know him. But that, like Paul said, we would be on an all-out mission to know you more. To know you more. To have even yet greater understanding and revelation. Holy Spirit, I ask right now. I ask that you would put an appetite in our hearts, not for the Da Vinci Code, not for the secret, not for unsolved mysteries. I pray you would put an appetite in our hearts to know Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Give us a desire. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I just want to pray blessing over you. Lord, I pray as we go from this place, as we go from this place, we won't quickly forget what we've just heard here. That you will remind us tomorrow, Tuesday, and the following days, that you are the answer to the things that trouble our hearts. The unsolved mysteries of life are not unsolved any longer. As we go, go with us, I pray. Speak to us. May we have ears to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, God bless you as you go. Have a wonderful day in Him.